And the angel of the Lord said to Hagar, Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brothers. Welcome back to the house. This is Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. I serve the Lord here in Northern Illinois. This is podcast number 18. It's December 28, 2014. Today, let's talk about Muhammad. Is Muhammad in the Bible? Is Islam in the Bible? How about the Arabs? Oh yeah, all of that's in there. What? It's not in the same place that the followers of Muhammad think. They tell us that Muhammad is the prophet that was foretold by Moses, for example, in Deuteronomy 18:15. And then they'll try to tell us that Muhammad is the comforter predicted by Jesus in John 14 and 15 and 16. In fact, neither of those things are true, but he is, or at least the whole Arab phenomenon is, in that Genesis passage that I just read. His people, the Arabs, are foretold right there, and they're promised a blessing, these sons of Ishmael. But those dwellers of Arabia fell away from that one true God who promised them great things, later became moon god worshippers, as most of the pagan world did. Let's take it from there. In the 1990s, I wrote a series of books called Scarlet Threads. And they described the mixture of Christian thought with pagan idolatry. We call that mixture now the Roman Catholic system. To this day, Rome, in my opinion, deceives the nations by presenting a Christian message but clothed in the garb of foreign deities and pagan practices. It's no secret that much of South America and Catholicism, for example, is just the old gods of the people wearing the new names of Christian saints. We don't see it so much in our day because it's been a long time since that transition took place. It all just kind of seems normal and modern right now. But in great measure, lives are not changed in that system. Only outward appearances. Now, for a clear picture of how all of this works, take a visit one day to the southernmost state of Mexico, in Chiapas. Learn firsthand how evangelical believers are thrust out of their homes and their communities for not joining in the mixed religion, which includes ancient practices of native religionists, the Aztecs, the Mayas, commingled with Romanism. And part of this mixture is drunken celebrations to which the born again cannot subscribe. They can't attend. They won't be a part of it. Because of that, they're thrown out. This is in 21st century Mexico, today. Maybe that new and gentle Pope needs to take a visit to Chiapas himself, but Chiapas and Mexico and Rome and Catholicism, that's not our subject today. I just said all of that to say that Islam, too, has a pagan connection. The Muslim religion is a clever concoction of very biblical, as in Romanism, with very anti-biblical, as in Romanism, sentiments, that sends people to hell by the thousands every day. I say it's clever in reference either to the prophet with whom it all started, if you believe it was just a human thing. By the way, even though he's called a prophet, he never prophesied. He never worked a miracle. So clever in reference to the prophet, or clever in reference to that deceiving spirit that arrested Muhammad's attention early in his life And in the process, it's changed world history more than once, trying to change it again. I speak, of course, of Muhammad of Arabia, the prophet of Islam. To him, supposedly, appeared an angel calling himself Gabriel. By the way, in all of this, I mean no disrespect to anyone. I speak truth as Christians see truth. This is what we see. This is what we believe. We are not trying to insult anyone. We're not trying to hurt anyone. In fact, we're trying to help by exposing this thing first to God's people and then to the Muslims themselves. In love and in compassion, in kindness and gentleness, offering them the truth that they were not taught as a child, obviously. Raised in a Muslim country, you're not going to be taught these things. Well, I say he called himself Gabriel, this angel. We know that the real Gabriel gave messages to mankind through Daniel, for example, and Joseph and Mary, and they're diametrically opposed to the one given to the man in the cave in the 7th century A.D. Daniel's Gabriel tells about the coming of a Messiah, the Prince, the Jewish Messiah, the Jewish Messiah who shall be cut off, killed, but not for himself, for someone else, for you, my friend, who are listening. For me. That's Daniel's Gabriel. But in Islam, Jesus didn't die on a cross to save us from our sins. It wasn't even Jesus on that cross. That's what Muhammad's Gabriel tells us through the recitations of the Quran. Then you've got Luke's Gabriel. Same as Daniel's, same Gabriel, same angel. Luke tells about one Jesus who is to be conceived in Mary's womb and called the very Son of God. Now, Islam will go that far as the being conceived in the womb, virgin birth, something happened there miraculously. But Islam has no father in heaven and therefore no son on earth. Virgin birth, but just a miraculous beginning somehow. She was a virgin. She had a son, but that son was not God, according to Islam. Jesus, according to Muhammad's Gabriel, is just another prophet, another man. And censure is placed on anyone who would suggest that this genderless God of the Quran could be this intimately involved with the creation as to place his seed inside of a woman here and have a son. To us, that's just how we talk. That's our language. We know that that's true. To Islam, this is an abomination. I think I speak the truth here. How we wish that Muhammad had listened to his own fears after those frightful first revelations that he got sitting in that cave, believing it was Gabriel, but not believing it was Gabriel. In fact, he wanted to denounce those cave visions as demonic. That's what he believed. That's what the story says anyway, that when he first received it, he was shaken because the appearances and the things that happened to him in that cave were so violent and so awesome and awful, that he did not want to believe it was God. He didn't believe it was God at the beginning. He was right, you know. He was right. He knew. If the stories that we hear about this situation, this event are true. He knew from the beginning this is not God. Well, how did he change his mind? There was a man who was semi-related to the church. He belonged to an apostate cult of his day, semi-Christian, who knew Muhammad and heard about these visions. I believe it was Muhammad's wife that told this Waraba about what was going on, and he convinced Muhammad that he was hearing from God after Muhammad told him what he had heard. Isn't it true today that we have people who are listening to prophets and believing every word they say? Why? Because they don't know the original word. They don't know what God originally said, or they would know that the one who is speaking to them is a liar. I did not say that all prophecy today is a lie. But much is. And there are people, again, who don't know the scriptures, who don't know the Lord that well, but they hear this and they get, oh, wow, this must be God. Well, this man in the 7th century A.D. was not a man of the scriptures, did not know the things God had said in detail. And when he heard Muhammad's things, he just believed it was God. He heard about the manifestation itself. You see, today people think because they have a manifestation, that must be God. Some manifestations could well be from God, but some are not. Do you have a good discerner? You better have one in this generation, for sure. It's in the church, the professing church. It's among us, these other manifestations. But don't write off all manifestations. Don't write off everything miraculous because of that. There is a true with the false. So this man convinced Muhammad, yeah, it's from God. Regardless of this violence and this oppression with which the messages came, this is God. Well, Gabriel, so-called Gabriel, and his revelations led Muhammad step by step into a connection, I believe, with false gods, false angels, demon spirits, we call them. An angel that is not God's angel is a demon. We use the word demon as though it were a different creation altogether, but it's part of that same angelic creation. It's just fallen. I imagine they are not as beautiful as they used to be. We don't know what they look like, in fact, but they are. But they can turn themselves into what they need to turn themselves into to deceive man. And this was, well, the greatest deception of mankind probably since the devil tried directly to deceive Jesus Christ when he was here. But he put all these truths of the Bible that the angel Gabriel gave, supposedly, and you put then all these other things, these add-ons, you put all that together, we call that mixture Islam. And as I've indicated, it's a very dangerous connection, very dangerous mixture. I hope you're not mixed up with it at all. We're going to stop there because our time is about up. And next time, we'll just continue on with this. We're going to take our time going through this because it's important that we do that. And this will be posted. You can go right now and get the PDF. Just read the whole thing yourself. You don't have to listen to me again. But I hope you come back anyway and we can, because I do read it, but I also embellish it a little. I don't put false things in there, but I do. Things come to my mind as I'm reading, and so I add those in too. So get the PDF, though, if you want. It'll be in blog form every day. Everything that I speak on a particular day, I'll put in a blog form. If it's my material, if it's somebody else's, I'll just direct you how to find that. Speaking of somebody else's, you're going to be hearing in weeks to come from George Mueller, Henry Drummond, Samuel Rutherford, Oswald Smith. We're going to listen to Jonathan Goforth again. I've got his real classic book, By My Spirit. And Charles Spurgeon. And we'll be having ongoing news of the persecuted church. We're going to have good times here. It's only 15 minutes a day, but it's, I hope, a good 15 minutes for you. And if it is to you, would you please subscribe And would you please leave a comment and let people on this site know that it's important to you, that it's a good thing to you. Send me an email and ask me a question about the thing, and we'll put that question into the podcast that day. The contact information for me is right there on the site. Good talking with you today. I want to share that scripture that we started with. It's not an inspirational scripture. It's more of an educational one to connect what I'm saying to you about Islam with what God said about a special person that's going to be born. Now, that we know that the person that's being described here is Ishmael. But when you see the descendants of Ishmael, and they did go into Arabia, and they are Arabs in general today. There's other things that came from them. But you look at this description, you say, yeah, that fits. Behold, God said to Hagar, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.